This morning, we continue our series on God's testing. We asked the question 2 weeks ago and answered it, does God test His children? The answer is yes. And we're looking at these as they've occurred in the Bible chronologically. Firstly, we looked at the obedience test, which of course was man's first test there in the garden. And we also looked at God's testing of Israel with the manna and whether or not they were willing to obey. And so, yes, God tests us daily in the obedience test. But then last week we looked at the life of Job and saw that often we go through a suffering test to see if we will respond properly to the afflictions that we face in our lives. Today, we're going to look at what I'm going to call the patience test. And does God test our patience? Yes. He wants to grow our patience, our long-suffering. And He does that by making us wait. So just as an example here in Genesis 12, we're going to end up in the New Testament in Luke. But here in Genesis 12, verse 7, the Bible says, "The Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, will I give this land? And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." Now, if you study this through, you find out that when this promise was given to Abraham, he was 75 years old. And God said that he would of his seed. So he said that Abraham would have children and his children would one day inherit that land. Now, if you look in Genesis 15, just three chapters over, Genesis 15 and verse 4. Now, this is 10 years later. Abram's now 85 years old. And it says here in verse 4, "Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir." He's talking about his servant Ebenezer. "But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." That's quite a promise. His seed was going to be innumerable. And of course, he wasn't just referring to Jewish people who were going to descend from Abraham, but he was referring to us because we become a spiritual, if you will, seed of Abraham through our salvation in Jesus Christ. And so this now, he's 85 years old, so he's already waited 10 years for God to fulfill the promise that God would give him a seed, a child, and that through that child there would be a multitude. Now over in chapter 16, this is 1 year later. So now it's been 11 years since the original promise that God would give Abram a seed and multitudes through that seed. After 11 years here in Genesis 16 and verse 2, it says, "And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai." So, if you study it out, it was actually 25 years from the original promise before God gave Abram the promised seed, Isaac. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born in Genesis 21. So from the time that God said, "I'm going to give you a seed, and that seed is going to be the father of many nations," until he actually fulfilled the promise was 25 years. Now let's go to Luke 18 if we could. Luke 18. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Sarah Abraham thing. But here in Luke 18, Jesus actually tells a parable to teach us that He will build our patience because sometimes He wants us to wait. Notice Luke 18, verse 1. "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" So I've entitled the message, Though He Bear Long. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that You would use Your Word in our hearts. Lord, we come expecting to hear from You this morning. We're thankful for the opportunity to be here. We love You, and we just pray that You'd use Your Word now to grow us, to teach us, to refine us, to do what You need to do in our lives. And so, Lord, may Jesus Christ, our Savior, be lifted up in all that's said and done in this service. We ask this in His wonderful name. Amen. So, thirdly, this morning, God does test us, not only to see if we will obey, not only to see how we will respond to suffering, but also to see if we're willing to wait. Now, in the Sarah and Abraham story, they took what I guess we could call a shortcut. And the interesting thing is their little shortcut turned into something quite big. Because the descendant of Hagar became the head of a group of people that God said would be everyone's enemy and everyone would be His enemy. And sure enough, here we are 3,000 years later, and there's about 1 billion of them, and they're everybody's enemy. The descendants of Ishmael are the Arabs. So they took matters into their own hands and said, well, God promised a seed, let's do it ourselves. And we have another story in the Bible of someone who went through a patience test. His name was Joseph. Now, Joseph didn't take a shortcut. Joseph actually was willing to wait on God. And we won't look at the whole story, but when he was 17 years old, God gave him a dream. And in that dream, he was revealed to him that he would one day rule over his own family, that he would be a ruler. And that dream angered his brothers so much that they sold him into slavery. They thought to kill him, but instead they sold him into slavery. And he spent years in slavery, and then he became a servant in a rich man's household. And then his wife chased after him and falsely accused him, and he ended up in prison for many years. But when he was 30 years old, 13 years later, his dream came true. And his brothers bowed down before him. They didn't know who Joseph was at the time. But just like in the dream, his brothers and his father bowed down before him. And he was the second in command in Egypt because of the famine that God allowed him to predict. And God answered his dream, his promise. But it was 13 years. Abraham was 25. Those are some good Bible examples that show that God often makes us wait. And this parable here in Luke 18 teaches the same. First of all, it tells us in verse 1 that men ought always to pray. And so what God is saying is that He wants us to pray. He desires the fellowship. And we talked about this recently. And I think one of the reasons God makes us wait is because if He gave us everything as soon as we asked for it or as soon as it was promised, we wouldn't pray. You've heard me say this. We would just treat God like a vending machine. Well, God, I need this. Thank You. We wouldn't actually spend time with God. And that's why He created us, was to spend time with Him. And so often waiting forces us to pray more, doesn't it? And that's a good thing from God's perspective. But that men ought always to pray. And how many times do we read in the New Testament, you know, continue in prayer and pray without ceasing and so forth. How many times do we read that it's God's will that we be constantly in prayer? But it says in the second part of this verse, and not to faint. Not to give up. Not to quit. Like Abram and Sarah did. Now, God eventually blessed and answered and gave them Isaac, and great things happened, and we're here today because of it. But they still chose to do things their own way. They still chose to stop waiting, take a shortcut. And look what it resulted in. Not to faint. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, in Galatians 6:9. Let's face it, when we are praying for something, or when There's a promise that we know God plans to fulfill in our lives, and we've waited and we've waited and we've waited. We're tempted to faint. We're tempted to quit asking. We're tempted to give up, maybe even tempted to take a shortcut and do it our own way, like Abram and Sarah did. But God says, no, keep at it. And just to drive the point home, he tells us this parable of this unjust judge. He uses the worst possible example he could. This guy doesn't even care about God, this judge in this parable. And yet he uses him to show, don't quit. Don't stop asking. Don't quit coming and asking and asking and asking. God told us to do this. So it's not that God is saying, you know, please stop praying for that. You've been praying for it for 10 years. I'm tired of hearing it. Stop. He never tells us that in the Scriptures. But he does tell us, keep asking. Keep coming to God. Don't quit. Don't faint. And so he tells us there in verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Does God answer prayer? Of course he does. He tells us that he does. And God doesn't make us wait for every request or every solution to our trials. But sometimes he'll choose something and he'll say, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to provide this for you. I'm going to answer this for you, but you're going to have to wait for it. But keep asking. And he will answer prayer. The Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God answers prayer. Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We serve a prayer-answering God. And he will avenge his own elect. But it says, verse 7, which cry day and night. This is what God wants. He wants us to cry day and night. He wants us to pray constantly. He wants us to keep coming to him and asking and asking and asking. David said in Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David said, I'm just going to keep praying. Evening, morning, noon, it doesn't matter. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, night and day praying always for you. So Paul had the same model in his life, praying constantly. God wants us to keep coming to him day and night. If we could, let's go to Romans chapter 5. And I want to show you that God wants us to grow. And one of the ways he wants us to grow is in our patience. That's why we call this the patience test. Waiting on God. Something that we're not very good at. Especially in our culture. Everything's instant now. Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That terrible word, patience. God wants us to cry day and night unto him, but he wants to develop in us patience. Look in James chapter 1, if you would. We'll see it again. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Right after Hebrews, right before 1 Peter, is the book of James chapter 1. And verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God says that if he can develop patience in our life, it's part of us being perfected and entire or whole. Patience. God wants to develop patience in us, and God's able to do that because he's the one that's going to decide to withhold things to see if we'll keep asking, to see if we won't faint, to see if we won't give up, but we'll keep coming and asking for God to answer these things. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, back to the left one book, verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. The Bible says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have need of patience. If I was to ask for a show of hands, who in here doesn't need patience? I don't think any of us would raise our hand because none of us are there yet. So God's going to keep testing us. He's going to keep making us wait to learn that He answers, that He hears. But sometimes He wants us to wait and be patient. How many times are we told in the Scriptures to wait on the Lord? Especially in Psalms. Over and over again, we're told to wait on the Lord. But it says here in verse 7 of our passage, go back, Luke 18:7. He says, God shall avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him. And here's the title of my message, though He bear long with them. There it is. Sometimes I think God just wants to see if we're serious. We even have New Testament examples. I mean, we talked about Sarah and Abraham. We talked about Joseph. But remember the Gentile woman that came to Jesus? And initially He said, it's not meet to take the father's meat and cast it to the dogs. By the way, that's what Jews called Gentiles. She knew what Jesus was saying. And she could have said, oh, well, fine. And went off in a huff and said, never mind. But you know what she said? Yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And He answered her prayer. She didn't quit. How about the blind men? And they were crying out for Jesus to heal them. And the disciples said, this is Jesus. This is the Lord. You guys are bothering Him. You guys are interrupting His ministry. Be quiet. They started screaming louder. Jesus stopped and said, I'm paraphrasing. What do you guys want? We need to be healed of our blindness. He said, so be it unto you. And He healed them. But they weren't going to quit. They knew Jesus had the power to answer, and they weren't going to stop asking. We know Jesus has the power to answer, but sometimes we stop asking. We stop coming to God. We say, I quit, or I'm going to do my own thing, or I'm going to come up with my own solution. That's a mistake. It might have been just right before God was going to answer that we made that decision. You know, the Bible, if you go to Hebrews chapter 12 now, the Bible tells us that one of the things we need to do when we're running this race called the Christian life is to run it with patience. In other words, the Christian life is not a sprint. Christian life is a marathon. Now, I don't know if anybody here has ever run an actual marathon, but it's long. That's the Christian life. And by the way, this marathon is longer than 42Ks. We don't even know how long it is. It goes from when you got saved until you either die or taken out by the rapture. You don't know how long it is. It's a long distance race. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. God wants to develop in us patience. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I waited patiently, he said. We don't know when God answered that particular request. David said, I waited patiently. Psalm 130:5 says, I wait for the Lord, and my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. God wants us to wait, to be patient. Notice verse 8 of our passage. Luke chapter 18:8. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Kind of like that word that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about the Bible says our light affliction, which is but for a moment. From God's perspective, our afflictions only last for a moment. It can be 50 years, but it's a moment. Well, here it says he will avenge them speedily. Well, that means in God's timetable. It doesn't mean that every time we ask God for something, we're going to get it that second. But it does mean that we're going to get it in God's time. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What a question. Is he going to find, when he returns, Christians that haven't fainted and that haven't given up and they're willing to wait on God, knowing that God cares about them, knowing that God will answer their prayers, knowing that God will bless them, but sometimes having to wait? I mean, that's what the parable's about. Waiting, continually coming, importunity. And Jesus, then it says, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find Christians willing to be patient? Willing to allow God to develop their patience? Now, if we could go to Isaiah 40, verse 31. Just preached on this a couple Sunday nights ago, but it's probably the most well-known verse in the Bible about waiting on the Lord. I'm sure many of you have it memorized. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Part of having faith is being willing to wait. Now, we get to the New Testament. We read about Abraham. The Bible says, and he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. When God gave him that original promise, he believed God. God's going to give me a seed. God's going to give me a multitude. God's going to give me a country, a whole nation. And God did. And he believed God's promise. And we read that over and over in the Bible, that he believed God, and God had accounted unto him for righteousness. We don't read in the New Testament, when God's looking back, about them taking a shortcut. God kind of overlooks that one. Praise God. God sees the end. And you know what God wants? He wants us to be like Joseph, willing to say, I know. I know God's going to take care of this. I know God's going to answer this. But I don't know when. The patience test. I don't know when. It might be 13 years as it was with Joseph. It might be 25 years as it was with Abraham. We don't know. But we do know that God loves us and God cares about us and that God answers prayer. He said right here, he will avenge them speedily. But will he find faith on the earth when he returns? Will he find Christians still praying, still believing, still trusting in God and his amazing, miraculous, infinite power to do anything? Will he find faith on the earth? What a question. And I hope that our answer to God is yes. Dear God, if you came back tomorrow, you would find me waiting. You would find me being patient, trusting that you're going to answer this request. You're going to resolve this issue. You're going to do it in your time, but believing that you are God and you will do it because you promised you would. If only we could be more like Joseph in that regard. And Joseph, if you go to Genesis chapter 50, I want to read a verse to you, one of my favorite verses. Because when Joseph's brothers came to him after being sold into slavery by them, after they lied to their father and said that Joseph was dead, and so he missed out on all those years with his family, spent a lot of it in prison, spent some of it as a slave. His brothers were scared. I mean, now Joseph has all this power. Surely he's going to show revenge. He's going to punish us somehow. And they were scared. I mean, Joseph was being kind to them, but they were scared at any moment he was going to turn on them and that was it. They were going to have to suffer the consequences of what they did to him. 50:20 Genesis. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. That little phrase, God meant it unto good. What a perspective. You mean 13 years of slavery and imprisonment was for good? God was refining Joseph, preparing Joseph to be second in command, basically, of the world at the time. And it worked. I mean, he's 30 years old. That's pretty young to take on that big of a responsibility. But he did, and he did it well. And literally, millions of people were saved because of his wisdom in setting aside all that grain. Because God gave him a glimpse of the future that there was going to be a famine. And that's what he means when he says, save much people alive. But God meant it unto good. Now that's faith. And that's the kind of faith Jesus is asking. Will he find when he returns? Christians willing to say, trial, waiting, crying out to God day and night, not getting an answer right away, but God meant it unto good. That's faith. Though he bear long, and he may, but that doesn't mean he doesn't care. It means he's developing and growing us. Let's pray.